Why did we read the prophet Hosea? You probably have heard those words before, I desire mercy or steadfast love or loyalty and not sacrifice. Well, not in Mark's account of this story, and so that's why we heard it from the prophet Hosea. And don't worry, if you don't know what it means now, you will by the time the sermon's over. So, Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. Hear the word of the Lord. He went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi the son of Alphaeus sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as he reclined at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." The word of the Lord. Let us ask the Lord's blessing now upon this part of our worship. Let's pray. Lord, we truly are thankful for your word. Your word of grace to us. And we bless you to live in these latter days under Christ's rule, his having come and revealed to us your marvelous grace and your salvation, laying down his life for us, that we might be made whole. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you again would be our teacher, that you this morning would cause this word to go forth in power, that it would divide asunder as a sharp two-edged sword. It would convert those who are still in their sin, and it would build up those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is for the glory of his great name that we ask this. Amen. The passage I wish to focus on this morning is verse 17. So I'll read it again to you. "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." My beloved brethren in the Lord, have you ever met a man who's on a mission? And his actions may appear strange if you don't know what that mission is. Well, that is what you have here in this passage in the gospel. A bunch of men who don't know Jesus' mission. Do you know Jesus' mission? This morning's text, verse 17, which I just read to you, is Jesus' defense to the Pharisees for why he, one, called Levi, a tax collector, to be his disciple, and two, why his kindly presence is there at the dinner table with tax collectors and sinners. That is, with people disreputable, dishonest, and disowned by society. If you are a tax collector, you were excommunicated from the synagogue. You were considered, because you were dishonest. How that system worked is you were given a quota you had to meet. You have to raise $1,000, we'll just say, $10,000 annually for Herod. He worked for Herod, Levi did, collecting taxes at a toll booth. And everything on top of that is money in your pocket. And that led to a great system of greed and scam. So they couldn't be judges. They couldn't be witnesses in a legal case. And their disgrace spread to their family, disowned by society. You know, if you and I ever saw a brother in Christ doing such a thing, sitting with such disreputable, dishonest, and disowned people, we might say to ourselves, he'd better know what he's doing, right? Well, Jesus knows what he's doing. These sinners are his mission. For he tells the Pharisees, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the world needs to take these words to heart. They are his merciful mission statement for why he came into this sin-sick world. He came here to give its sin-sick inhabitants eternal life. Jesus' mission to the world is not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You might wonder, that's not in the text. It is if you read a different version of the Bible, King James or New King James, or if you read Luke's account of it, it's in Luke's passage in your ESV. He came to call sinners to repentance. So then the question you should be asking yourself is, am I aligned with the Lord's mission of mercy in this world? Here are two diagnostic questions to ask yourself. First, have I obeyed Christ's gracious call to follow him? And two, as a saint or a holy one in Christ Jesus in this world, do I silence my inner Pharisee while being concerned to see sinners repent? How you answer these two questions shows whether you are aligned with Christ's mission in this world or not. So let's start with the first question. Have I obeyed Christ's call and therefore come to him to be cured from my sin? Now what I mean by come to him is what the text says in verse 14. You can look there where Levi says, and he rose and followed him. There you see Levi's response to Jesus' call to follow me. And this is the order for all true Christians. Christ in the gospel first graciously comes to you while you are a sinner, while you are diseased with death, and says, follow me. Note the significance of these two words. These two words are the words of life. They are the words of health. And you say, how so? Here's how. The cure that Jesus offers to sinners is to share in his life. He is life. Therefore, he says, follow me. Follow my life. That is my way of life, my mode of living, my thought, my speech, my acts. What you see my hands do, do. What you hear my mouth say, say. How you see me ready to listen to others' needs, so listen. As you see me patiently bear with sinners, do the same. That's what those words, follow me, mean. They mean that your health, theologically your sanctifying righteousness, is found in following Jesus the Messiah. Your justifying righteousness is found in believing in Christ. But your life, your righteous life, is found in following Jesus Christ. Think of it like this. Imagine that runny noses, wheezing coughs, headaches, fevers, etc. are all sins. Now imagine Jesus, your physician, who is sinless, comes to you and says, follow me. If you become what I am, then you'll no longer have a runny nose, sore throat, fever, headache, vomiting, upset stomach, and on and on. And so you get the point. Your health is in following Jesus. But your health comes not to you by merely imitating Jesus. Levi and the other 10 apostles, notice I exclude Judas there, will attempt to do that. And in the end, they will all fall away as if they had not a sound bone in their body. Something more is needed. The sickness of sin is more serious than mere imitation can treat. Amputation is needed. He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. So says the Lord in Isaiah 53 verse 8. God cut out of you the disease of death. He cut out of you the old man. And God did this on the cross, where he cut off Jesus. Using the Old Testament sacrament here, like fleshly foreskin, for your sins done in the flesh. Isaiah's words on Peter's lips say it all, by whose stripes ye were healed. Jesus took your disease of death, that you would get well and live. But amputation alone did not cure you. Or to put it to you this way, if your old man was cut out of you, what are you now left with? You also needed a transplant. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. So says the Lord in Ezekiel 36:26. God gave that heart and that spirit to Levi and to the rest of the apostles at Pentecost. And he gives them to every Christian since then when they believe and are baptized. Your new heart is given to you in union with Christ in the one Spirit through faith. So you see, follow me becomes in the gospel, be in me. Only in Christ are you alive and healthy and able to follow Jesus. Now, you all know that. And the Lord's Supper teaches us all of this. There on the table is the food for sin-sick souls, right? There is Christ crucified. Not again, but a remembrance of his once and for all sacrifice. As we eat his broken body and drink his shed blood, we have sacramentally signed to our faith our union with Christ and our partaking in his blessings of election, adoption, justification, sanctification, and glorification, that is, our complete life and health in Jesus Christ is right there given to us in the gospel. So let me encourage you all to keep taking what will make you whole. And if your transplant seems shaky and sin at times gets the better of you, remember this. Christ loves you and came for you and shows you his kindness, not because you try to follow him, but because you're you and even a sinner. He does love that you try to follow him. He does find your obedience pleasing. But his merciful love for you as a sinner comes first. And this should be evident to us all in the gospel. Levi was a cheat. He got wealthy off exploiting the tax system. Saul the apostle was a murderer and a bully. King David was a liar, a murderer, and adulterer. Yet God loves them all and shows them his everlasting mercy. And he shows it to each of you. He calls you, while you are a sinner, to follow his Son. This also teaches us one very important point. Never give up on anyone in their sinful sickness, even yourself. For God calls the chief of sinners like Levi to demonstrate to us that his grace abounds over sin. So then, you know that you are aligned with Christ's mission of mercy to heal you from your sin. If you humbly submit to being saved by him, if you keep believing, keep coming to the table to receive Christ crucified, and keep following him, walking and talking and praying as he did. But remember, follow me means that you're not the captain. Christ is. It means that you're not the pioneer. Jesus has shown you the good path. And you're not alone. Jesus walked the sufferer's path with his heavenly Father, and so do you with your heavenly Father. But this is only half the picture. Every Christian, like the generation before them, like the generation before us, going all the way back to Christ and the first apostles that he sent, has been sent by the Father and the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit on a mission of mercy. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you, says Jesus in John 20, verse 21. Therefore, you need to ask yourselves another couple of diagnostic questions to determine whether you are aligned with Jesus' mission of mercy in this world. Am I silencing my inner Pharisee? And am I concerned with sinners repenting? Who are the Pharisees? Among other things, Pharisees are people who, in their misguided devotion to God, separate themselves from sinners. They have lost sight of the God of the Bible. The holy God of the Bible, they forget, draws near to sinners. And they're concerned never to break God's law. They build a hedge of other laws around the law. And by doing so, they think they will keep themselves from ever transgressing a commandment of God. For example, to avoid ever eating food not tithed, they avoid the table of the Gentiles. Notice, Jesus cares nothing for their traditions. In their life of do's and don'ts, they separate themselves from everything unholy. So naturally, they are concerned when they see a fellow Jew like Jesus eating at table with tax collectors and sinners. Jews shouldn't do that, so they think. But Jesus will make them rethink what Jews should do. And I'll add, what Christians should do. He answers their question in such a way as to explode their hollow external holiness. He tells them this parable. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Brethren, we all know sickness. We have all seen the doctor. Sometimes just Dr. Mom or Dr. Dad, but other times the doctor in the white coat. And we are grateful for their care. And children, you never wonder why Mommy and Daddy are there for you when you're sick. They're there to see you well. Nor adults, you never wonder why the doctor is there when you're sick. He's there for the same reason, to get you well. And we all know that. And we could all imagine a doctor who was questioned by his colleagues why he visited the sick, answer them somewhat confused. Well, I came not to call healthy people, but sick people to get well, And we all know that doctors don't have a mission to the healthy, but to the sick. This is such an obvious truth. And because it is so obvious, it makes the Pharisees' blindness that more alarming. Perhaps they need to see the doctor. You see Jesus' point. He is saying this. Where else would you expect me to be? By your own admission, you own these people to be sick. You call them sinners. And should I not be among sinners who am a physician? Now, what's wrong with you, Pharisees? Why are you helping these people to get well? Where's your mercy and kindness for them? Rather than criticizing them, why aren't you committed to caring for them and living amongst them to show them God's ways? If you truly believe that you have health in you, that is, if you walk the righteous path. Brethren, you need to note this very well. I need to note this very well. These Pharisees and their external holiness are self-condemned. And they are self-condemned because they do not bring life to these sinners, though they think they have it. For in them, that is the Scriptures, says Jesus, ye think ye have eternal life. John 5:39. And you know how that continues. Jesus says, no, that's in me. But they think they have it. But they're not bringing it to anybody. They are Israelites, but they are not Israelites indeed. Jesus is the true Israelite here. He knows the meaning of Hosea 6:6. I desired mercy and not sacrifice. He knows that in God's eyes, piety without pity is worthless. That true religion keeps both together. As Christians, you must be devoted to God, doing what He asks, not doing what He forbids, but never doing it without pity to others. As soon as you label a person tax collector and sinner and seek not to show him or her the path of life, you are self-condemned. Workers, do you call your colleagues sinners? You are self-condemned if you maintain a critical distance rather than committing yourself to them in compassion. Students, do you call your liberal classmates sinners? You are not aligned with Jesus' mission if you do not show them kindness and live amongst them to walk before them in the way of life. Brethren, the whole point is this. We should not be running away from sinners, but showing them mercy. Why? If you had all the health in the world, wouldn't you tell sick people where you got it? But also, a man sick all his life doesn't even know what health is. You need to be there to show them what health is. You're following Jesus in their presence, practicing mercy, showing kindness, doing good deeds, portrays to them their sickness and the fullness of life to be found in Christ. Now, brethren, I'm not ignorant that Scripture warns us to be careful about the company that we keep. Bad company corrupts good manners. Nor am I unaware of the danger of helping people out of sin, considering thyself lest thou also be tempted. Nor am I unaware that there are clear do's and don'ts in the Christian life. Be ye holy, for I am holy. But our being under law to Christ, rather than separating us from sinners, frees us to be all things to all men, and these Pharisees cannot see that. And further, Scripture also says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. If you're such a person that thinks, but if I live amongst them or send my children amongst them, they'll turn them. A Christian can be amongst sinners and not be overcome by sin if the Spirit of Christ is in. Pray if you're worried. pray, lead us not into temptation, that you, O God, might lead us into helping sinners out of sin. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying let's send our children like sinners or anything like that. But as soon as you begin to critically distance yourself from sinners and whatever holiness you think you have, you are out of line with Christ's mission. You also need to pray for a strong constitution. It is not pleasant, or is it pleasant for the doctor to look at vomit and feces and blood and brain matter and pus and on and on? Neither is it pleasant to be exposed to sin. And we can be sure Jesus heard things and saw things at that table that offended him. Jesus saw things and heard things that offended him from his own apostles that followed him. Jesus hears things and sees things that offend him from you. And yet he stays. And yet he stays. And blessed be the God of grace that he stays. And so must we. We cannot get out of this world. Some in the Corinthian church misunderstood Paul's word to separate themselves from the world to this effect. And they attempted never to have contact with sinners. But Paul wrote back to them and refutes this interpretation of his words by the mere impracticality of it. Find a sin-free home, a sin-free workplace, school, community, etc. You can't. Brethren, the bottom line is this. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. We, grace and peace, have no mandate to separate from the world externally. Yes, every believer is separate from the world inwardly and spiritually, but we must imitate Jesus' spirituality. After all, he is the one with the Spirit without measure. And we see him show kindness and mercy to sinners. And I want to say to you, that's holiness. If your definition of holiness has always been separation, you need to see God. Oh, of course, Jesus was separate completely from them inside. But that did not keep him separate from their table and their company, that they might see and hear the good news and have what he has, health and life. If you are tempted to call unbelievers tax collectors and sinners, why is that? You need to take some time to examine your heart before God. Culture today makes its converts by shaming and canceling. But Christ, by kindness and mercy, you need to show the world the health that Christ has put in you. But brethren, it's not just outside of the church that this misguided separation goes on. We can all label one another tax collectors and sinners, and so distance ourselves from each other. Have you ever criticized here at Grace and Peace in your heart another brother or sister for what they watch and read and say or do or don't do, for being a vaxxer or an anti-vaxxer, for how they vote? If you believe that you are in the path of life and you don't show them mercy and try to help them, then you are self-condemned as being no Christian indeed. Brethren, our Lord came to save sinners. Be aligned to that mission. Repent and believe for the forgiveness of your sins and follow Him. Pray earnestly for the Spirit's help. And when you pray for each other's bodily health concerns, pray also for their recovery from sin. And no longer criticize sinners. Commit yourselves to each other and to the people of Southern Maryland to walk before them in the path of life, praying that God would heal them all. God, give us all the grace to follow Jesus Christ, who wept when sinners refused the life He came to give them. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for sending into this sin-sick world Your eternal life in Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You and bless You that by His stripes we were made whole. You have cut out of us our sinful nature and have implanted into us a new heart. We bless You for joining us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Holy Father, we lament before You our sins, how unmerciful a people we are, how unkind a people we are, how prone to our external and hollow, pharisaical holiness that we cherish in our hearts, labeling others sinners and tax collectors. We are self-condemned before You. Forgive us and help us. Help us when we see sinners not to be discouraged, but to go in the hope of the gospel and joy that we have life and we know what can help them. And to bring them that life. Help us to show them the kindness and mercy that You daily show to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.